Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
We're going to get into a lot of things that you've been working on, but for new people who don't understand what tarot cards are or what tarot is, why don't you explain that?
Okay. Now, tarot came out of the Italian Renaissance, but we don't really know who the first designer was. It's a mystery. Tarot was called by one of the great pioneers, the 19th century French philosopher, Eliphas Levi, a book that informs by making one think. It's a deck of cards with interesting images on them.
How many cards?
78. Playing cards plus, in other words, the 52 playing cards, it's actually 56 of the minor arcana of tarot, and then an additional 22 cards, which are called the, if you pardon the expression, trump cards. But I like to call them the higher keys. And those cards are equivalent to the archetypes of transformation. And my interest as a Jungian psychologist is the kind of archetypal level of the tarot. You know, the archetypes are something that are at the kind of base of the human mind. We all have them. They're identical in all individuals, but we can't know them directly. We can only intuit them through archetypal images. So the tarot is a way of allowing us to open our minds and touch base with a deep part of ourselves.
And when you do tarot art, in most cases, obviously, when you're doing it on the phone, you're picking the cards for the individual. So how does that work that way?
Yeah, right. Well, I cannot tell you how it works. I can tell you that it works. And it's all about synchronicity and intention. Just the act of going to a tarot reading opens up a certain type of anticipation and anxiety a little bit, and openness to new information. And there's something about the channel of communication between a reader and a querent, or a readee, that connects energetically, and symbols just kind of fall out spontaneously, and they seem to be always accurate. But George, when I say accurate, I don't think that accurate is really an accurate term for what they are. They're really always relevant. And it doesn't really matter who picks the cards. The cards themselves will find their relevance or meaningfulness in the present moment.
Interesting.
If a person is open to the divination process, which simply means trusting your natural intelligence and intuition in the present moment and letting go or suspending all your preconceived notions about things.
How did you get involved in this art, personally?
Well, actually in graduate school, if you can believe that, back in the 70s, I was studying Eastern philosophy in San Francisco in my graduate work, and a professor of Indian philosophy actually was also a tarot scholar, and I took a seminar with her, and I found the cards fascinating. I saw that there was tremendous potential for psychotherapy and psychology with these images, so I went on and wrote a dissertation on the tarot. So, yeah, it's been a long time going. That was back in the late 70s.
And we've always talked about if somebody pulls the death card, that doesn't mean they're going to keel over, does it?
Well, no. Well.
Uh-oh, there's a well here. Hey, by the way, did you change your website?
What do you mean?
Wasn't it artrosengarden.com before?
It's it's got the two names will go to the same place.
Okay, all right.
ChartRosengarten.com or MoonlightCounseling.com.
All right, we'll get into that too. Okay, I thought, see how aware I am with your stuff.
You're so aware, George.
How about that?
So aware.
But anyways, back to the death card.
Now, like you always ask me the same question. I love it. And, you know, what does it mean if I get the death card? And I always tell you the same thing. It means you're going to die. But it doesn't say when you're going to die, George. We're all going to die eventually, I think. And so, in fact, we're all going to experience every one of the tarot cards at some point. It just, when you get the death card, it calls up in that moment the whole issue of death, your whole relationship to death. And you have to experience that directly. And with death, you know, we have so much denial of death that it's always powerful, and we project a lot of our belief systems onto the cards. But, you know, the tarot is a great, misnomer that the tarot reads the future. It really reads the present on a deep, deep level. And so if you get the death card, it forces you to experience your present moment relationship to the theme of death.
Interesting tag. And Moonlight Counseling, what is that now?
Well, this is my practice in Solana Beach, San Diego, California, where now I'm primarily teaching tarot classes and workshops. I have my main practice is at community psychiatry in Del Mar, where, you know, I practice full time as a psychologist.
Okay.
There I do my regular psychological work.
And I bet you're seeing a lot of people with some strange issues these days, aren't you?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, geez.
What's happening?
Well, you know, the whole culture and society is under so much strain and so much pressure. And the basic kind of institutions that we thought were solid and reliable are all kind of collapsing in front of us. And young people in particular coming into this world, they're coming into a very different world than we came in.
They're hugely depressed. I had a study story earlier in my newscast tonight where the millennials, the younger people, are more depressed than people 55 and older.
I saw that, yes. Yeah. Oh, that's true. And addiction and alcoholism is running rampant, much more than it's been, in my opinion. Particularly in that age group, you know, there was a study recently came out that there's a 30% spike in deaths due to alcohol-related causes in the, I think it was the 25 to 35-year-old group. And that's concerning.
That's huge.
The whole culture is under, you know, going through a lot of pressure and change, and it's very unsure where we're going and what we're really doing here. That's why the tarot is, you know, that's a perfect context for a tarot reading, because it kind of where you're at your edge, where, you know, you feel like, I don't know, and I want to know because it's important. That little space is where you ask your question for a reading, and you're more likely to get a strong response.
Are there tarot cards, Art, things that will be or could be?
It's a good question. In the short view, it's could be. In the long view, it's would be. Now, whether or not that happens in this lifetime, I can't say.
Right.
But at some point, we all will kind of experience all of these core human experiences.
Do we all have free will here? And by that I mean, if you do a reading for somebody and you tell them a little bit about the future, do they have the capability of altering that?
Absolutely. So,
or would circumstances occur and it'll happen anyway?
No.
Okay.
See, I think that the tarot card reading makes conscious the unconscious. If you hadn't had that reading, they probably, you know, what they're predicting probably would come true. When it comes into consciousness, then we have free choice, and then we can work to prevent that or work against it, but we have to take it seriously. We have to know that we have a propensity or a vulnerability for this particular, you know, constellation to occur now, so we can take measures. If we ignore a tarot reading or we don't even look through a lens like an oracle, there are certain patterns that are preset that are highly predictable.
I remember a Twilight Zone episode where a guy found a genie's lamp and, you know, he rubbed it and the genie popped up and he got three wishes. But the genie warned him and it said, every wish will have its consequences.
Well, that's totally true. And that's a great
point. I mean, so like the guy wanted omnipotent power. The genie turned him into Hitler. Stuff like that. Crazy
exactly.
Stuff like that.
Exactly. Be careful what you wish
for. He wanted tremendous wealth. And he gave him a body with no legs and no arms, but he had all the money in the world.
Yeah, that's great.
And things like that.
Well, see, now what I've learned and the way I work is that the tarot really is always about your spirituality. The tarot always says in different ways, get in touch with your spiritual side. Make your decisions coming from a place that is going to benefit your whole self. And so the tarot has that kind of basic bias that it's always guiding you towards spiritual growth.
We're going to be taking your calls, and Art will do some readings for you next hour here. And your method is what? Three cards that you pull?
Yes. Normally if people call in to set up a reading with me, that's an 11-card reading, and I have a system where I can actually have them select the cards over the phone or over the Internet.
Okay.
But we don't have time for that right now, so I'm going to pick, and that really doesn't make a difference if you want to know the truth. So I will just be the chooser.
Okay, and you'll tell us what cards you picked and what they mean, and then
exactly.
Do your thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. It's an amazing ability. It really is. Is it differ from being, let's say, a psychic or a numerologist or somebody or an astrologer?
Well, they overlap in a lot of places. The one of the differences is between certainly a numerologist and an astrologer is they can do their reading without the person there. They go into another text or another system, whereas a tarot reading, a psychotherapy session, even a psychic reading typically, they require the interactive field between the reader and the readee. There's something about the relationship, live relationship, that's necessary for the transmission to take place.
How has this helped you in your psychiatrist and psychological field?
Tremendously. Well, it's in so many ways, it's just opened up my whole philosophy of life and my recognition of universal patterns and themes that everybody's talking about in different ways. Also, in the course of therapy, often though, someone will be talking about an issue, and I say, you know, there's a tarot card that kind of captures that image, and I'll pull it out and show it to them, and it becomes a visual marker. You have an illustration that shows the kind of psychological dynamics of what a person may be talking about, a complex relationship. And so it gives a visual kind of hold or picture in your mind of complexity, and so it's very useful in psychotherapy.
Can tarot cards, Art, be abused?
Absolutely, absolutely. They are all the time. Well, there's a lot of, you know, there's something I call the shamanistic transference, and this is where the reader invites a transference that they have superpowers and that they know all and they are gifted, which they're not. They're more emissaries and interpreters. The oracle of the tarot is the real, you know, brains behind the operation. But when the ego of a reader is involved in the reading, that contaminates the reading.
You're very reasonable with your readings for people in terms of pricing for what you do. But you've got a special deal for Coast listeners as well.
I do.
Thank you.
I do. And that will be both for readings, which they should contact me on my website, or for my new 10-week seminar that I'm going to be launching called Tarot, Imagination, and Consciousness. This is a remarkable program that is taking place over Zoom online. And I will teach you my method and the tarot A to Z in a very deep way. And by the end of it, you will be a competent tarot reader yourself, not necessarily to be a professional tarot reader, but to use the cards for your own growth and for your own benefit and those of the people around you. So there's a discount there of $150 for the seminar if you call. And like I say, the way to notify me that you're a Coast listener is on the top of your email or call, just say, George sent me.
Ah, okay.
And that kind of gives it away.
Good. Well, thanks for helping people out. Yeah. Everybody needs a little help these days.
We all do.
Tarot cards. Now, the person who created them, how many years ago?
We don't know.
Hundreds, right? Hundreds.
In the Italian Renaissance, about 600 years ago. Those are the earliest decks we have, but we do not know the history behind them. And so there's a lot of speculation from, there's many theories. I mean, very quickly, there's theories about who were the original places where tarot originated. There's theories about China, Egypt, Fez, Morocco, India, Renaissance Italy, and as far as the transmitters, there's theories about it was transmitted by the returning crusaders, the Knights Templar, the gypsies. But ultimately, the first designer of the tarot, I believe, is the human imagination. It's in all of us. It's the archetypes and the deep part of our psyches. And that's where these images ultimately came from. So it's almost a moot point, like who was the first artist that tapped into that.
That's amazing.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.